Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Sacred Divergence Radio. I am your hostess for the next hour, Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, and I'm glad that you can join us. And with me tonight is Lisa Visek of Tea House Visek. Okay, Visek of the Tea House of the Goddess. Hello, dear. How are you today?
Good evening, Reverend Elizabeth. I'm so glad to be here.
And we're so glad to have you. How are you doing?
Good, good. There's a little bump in the show this evening, but that's okay. I sat here and dragged my spinning wheel next to the computer and made good use of the time.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad that you can be here tonight. I know last week Blog Talk Radio totally blew up on us, and it just would not allow us to get you on. But this week is a different story, and even though we're a little late getting started here, we're going to rock and roll for the next hour.
Awesome. It worked out
good.
I was feeling a little poorly last Sunday, and I feel all better this week, so it works out real good.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better, and I'm sorry that you were feeling poorly.
It's what happens as you get a little bit older, and you don't pay attention to your body as much as you should.
I can imagine so. I'm only 26, so I don't know what it's like to be old yet.
Well, let me tell you, Reverend Elizabeth, you still feel the same in your head as you do when you're in your 20s, as when you are in your 50s, but your body doesn't.
I'm still living back
in the 80s.
Oh my. Oh my.
Duran Duran and Madonna. No, just kidding.
Hey, I like Duran Duran. Duran Duran is good. We don't have any in the deck, but that's okay.
No.
Oh, goodness. So we are going to talk about your baby tonight.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Tea House of the Goddess got started?
Okay. Let's see. Well, I was a formal member of a coven for many years, and life happened, and I had to walk away from that. And after about a year, I felt the need to be involved with people and have people, spiritual people of my kindred around me, and I wasn't really getting that just the way I'd like it to be. And one morning I woke up and I had this little package in my brain and my heart and my soul that I was to create a group that got together 3 or 4 times a year and had tea and did some crafts. Do some crafts and enjoy each other's company, and there was to be no commitment, no dogma, no, I don't even know what else to call it, but just an afternoon of kindred spirits getting together, whether they were pagan, Christian, whatever their belief system was, they were to come and have tea. I'm a master gardener too, so I believe in the idea using seasonal foods, and I wanted my friends to bring a seasonal food for agricultural purposes, but for spiritual purposes as we progress through the year, the wheel of the year. And it's the first one happened February 15th, and we had a blast. I had with children, it was, I'm kind of excited to say we had 25 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, it was an open house kind of situation. People kind of came and went. And another reason why I wanted to do this, I had been reading a lot of posts on different pagan websites and Facebook sites that people would say, well, I'm not crafty, and it's in bulk, and I don't have a cow, I don't have a sheep, I don't have a goat. How can I celebrate in bulk? And my, in bulk? And my mind went kind of, oh, my word. Surely we can come up with some decorations that don't require the use of a cow or a goat or a sheep. And everybody can be creative. They, you know, have a little help from a friend who's creative, and you're a lot more creative than you believe. So our first tea house, we drew mandalas, and I had pre-drawn one to Bridget, and other people drew all kinds of wonderful things, and they were the most precious things you've ever seen.
Wow, that is just phenomenal. I am so... I am so thrilled that it went so well for you. And when is your next one?
Well, thank you. I was hoping around Beltane. We'll see. We're having a little bit of a problem, believe it or not, with coyotes.
Oh, my.
We're having to take care of those, and we wanted to do something more in the evening, and I can't have people over here with coyotes prowling around.
No, my goodness, no.
We live out, Mama Gnome lives out in the woods. So I'm sure something will pop up. I haven't really been divinely inspired just yet. But we did have a dye day where we dyed eggs. A bunch of us got together just
awesome.
A few weeks ago, and that was a lot of fun. It was kind of an informal tea house.
Right. Right. So you
have. But it was still fun, and I love having people over who say they haven't, you know, dyed eggs in decades, and they're not creative, and just the things they come up with.
Oh yeah, I haven't dyed eggs in years, and I can only imagine what the eggs would turn out if I were to dye eggs now.
Well, a funny thing happened. We had bought a bunch of these plastic eggs that said they were dyeable. And they really weren't. And that was kind of a lot of fun, trying to figure out on the spot how to get these eggs colored. And my darling husband grabbed up a dozen or so and ran them outside and spray painted them for people to use Sharpie markers on.
Well, isn't that just fun?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I think if we do something around Beltane, we might do our own little maypole with ribbons and dowels and maybe some cement. I haven't really firmed it up just yet. But I always seem to get the idea, you know, when I wake up in the morning, the divine has put it there, and I'm like, oh, okay, that was the message I was waiting for. Let's go on.
Right,
and see
right.
how this happens.
Wow. So let's... Go ahead.
It's been a lot of fun, and people are giving me ideas, and I have a Facebook site, and I've been putting things on there to see what people respond to, and they really like the egg dyeing, and they can't wait for the next tea party. So I do need to start thinking of something soon just to put it out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would say so, definitely. So what kind of tea do you have at your tea parties?
Oh, well, let me walk over here to my little drawer of OT, and we have a phenomenal tea store in the area, and I go down there and I get loose tea, and it's a lot of fun to watch people who have never had loose tea before when I bring out the Victorian little strainers and the little ceramic strainers and the sterling silver ones and the fancy spoons. I've been collecting some tea things for a number of years now, and I really want them to use them. So they just love to see what I've got and figure out how to use them. But for tea,
I bet they're I bet their eyes light up like little children discovering something new.
That was the whole idea. I decorate the house, you know, for the season, and for in bulk, I had letters that were up on my mantle that spread out, spelled out in bulk, and I did one for, I plan to do one for each holiday with the wood letters just spread out on the mantle. But at the little tea store, we had some chocolate rooibos chai.
Ooh.
And we had some jasmine with flowers, which is a very floral, light tea. And then
uh-huh.
we have the most popular one, I think, was the Earl Grey tea because everybody's familiar with that.
Right, yeah. I would go for the Earl Grey, definitely, because that's
yes.
like my favorite tea on this entire planet. It just smells
yes.
of bergamot. If
yes.
I can get double bergamot Earl Grey tea, oh my goodness, that's just the most amazing thing ever.
Well, actually, I had a Russian Earl Grey tea that I served
oh.
one pot of, and it had extra bergamot in it.
Well, there you go.
And with some flowers in it. And then we had, let's see what else. Oh, we had green tea out, which was a lot of fun for people. And then we have some moms who still had babes, and they couldn't have anything caffeinated, so they had decaffeinated chai. I have a friend that comes over, and I have a box just for her. And let's see what else that we had. We had some... Oh, somebody liked the calming tea that had lemongrass and chamomile in it.
Oh, wow.
And
see, I can't drink chamomile tea. I'm allergic to it.
Really?
Yes, I am allergic to chamomile. I don't know what it is about the chamomile tea. I can smell chamomile all day long, and it doesn't do anything to me. But when I drink it, it makes my eyes water. It makes my nose swell up. It makes my sinuses go all aggravated. It just doesn't work for me.
That doesn't sound like much fun.
No, it's not. No. I figured it out after my third cup.
Oh, no.
But
and
I was
so
trying
wonderful
to take it for insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. We had teapots going everywhere, and we had platters full of food. We had, it was just wonderful. Everybody brought something appropriate to in bulk or Bridget's Day or whatever you want to call it, or Candlemas, and lots of dairy, lots of sugar, lots of milk. It was wonderful, Reverend Elizabeth.
Wow.
We ate. I made a cornbread salad, and that was gone.
You're going to have to, now I'm a foodie. You're going to have to give me that recipe after the
show.
Oh,
boy, I'll have to put them up somewhere.
Yep, we're gonna put it on our blog talk, not blog talk page, Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just to remind everybody, you can go to facebook.com/sacreddivergenceradio and find out all about what Sacred Divergence Radio is up to. You can also go to Elizabeth Hamilton Media to find out where I've been. I did a radio show on Sunday with Reverend Don Lewis over on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and we did it on oracles, and that was a fantastic time. So where are you found on the internet?
I have a couple. My personal page is Lisa Vysick. You just type in Lisa Vysick. But Tea House of the Goddess is right up there if you type it in. And I post all kinds of interesting things about fairies or interesting seasonal crafts and activities and recipes, of course. And just little insights that the spirit might give me during the day, I might throw up there. Not that I'm any more connected than anybody else, but once in a while you get an idea and you know that it's divinely inspired because my regular brain could not have thought of that.
Yes, I just love all of your different ideas that you have posted up there. And I'm not finding it when I go to search for it. I'm not finding Tea House of the Goddess.
Okay, let me see if I can do something here and just send you one. Friends Timeline. Liz. Liz, Reverend Liz. There we go. It's a page of mine, so I thought it would go directly to it, but we might have to figure out how to make a link. I'm sure.
Yeah, I can definitely make a short URL for you with my Bitly account.
Okay. Reverend Onyx has been so helpful about getting me hooked up and things.
Oh, that was your profile, dear. I don't want your profile. I want Tea House of the Goddess.
Oh, okay, here. Let me try it another way.
If you just go to the group and copy and paste the URL, then I will make us a short link.
Okay, I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
I'm not really good at computers. Give me a 100-year-old loom or a spinning wheel.
Uh-huh.
I know what
to
do with
it. That's so funny. You are just so sweet. You are the sweetest person I think I've had ever on my show.
Oh, my word. No. I'm really mean.
Oh, you're not mean. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't believe that for a second, my dear.
My daughter has a song about me when I'm mean to her.
Oh, my.
And, yeah. Something to the extent of my mom's meaner than your mom. My mom's meaner than yours. My mom's meaner. Her teeth are greener. My mom's meaner than yours.
Oh, my goodness. That's so horrible.
Isn't that horrible? And my daughter is so entirely cute that you cannot get after her from it because it's so cute. Now, remember, my daughter has special needs. And we have a very interesting, loving, teasing relationship at times.
Uh-huh.
And that's how she gets out some of her emotions sometimes, you know, where I have to kind of lead her along to what, you know, when you're mad at somebody, this is what it's like or this is what it feels like. This is what she had problems with, like some emotions like bittersweet. So, we make up songs or we make up little stories so she understands that kind of thing.
Right. Oh, and I found your group, by the way. I went through Afterfove. Thank you so much to Afterfove in the chat room who managed to find it for us. And
thank you, Afterfove.
The reason why I couldn't find it is because Tea House is two words, not one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
There we go. Okay, so we're good now?
It's your little baby shrine, yes.
Yes.
So
yes, I am a baby shrine, and I'm very excited about that.
And I'll bet that the proto-temple that you're under is just thrilled to have you.
He has said something similar to that.
Say that again?
He has said something similar to that, yes.
I'll bet, yeah. So you are distance shrine of Lady of the Circle in the Oaks proto-temple.
Yes.
Very
lovely.
And
it worked out so wonderful. You know, because the Tea House of the Goddess came to me from the goddess as a gift, but what was I going to do with that? I'm new to the tradition, and I'm new to stepping out in these waters of any kind of ministry, and I needed that little bit of older brother, older sister kind of help, you know, that you can do this, and that little bit of vetting that I needed, you know, for my own, you know, self-esteem kind of. It was that nice little brotherly push that you can do this. And even though I'm distanced, I can still have the devotion and the caring for the people around me the way that I really feel drawn toward.
Definitely.
Over the internet.
Definitely.
And my immediate area of my friends.
I have had so many good relationships with people over the internet. It's just amazing how much this medium has expanded the world and brought us all so much closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even gone so far as to have yerba mate, which is an herbal drink. It's kind of like a tea. It's not quite
I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Okay. with my sister in the Goddess in Uruguay, I believe she is.
Oh, my word. Okay.
And, yep, and we sat down and we had yerba mate together one morning, and it was great.
I've had it once or twice, and I got a little spacey off of it.
Yeah, it has that effect.
There were some ladies that came right from South America, and they were visiting some friends of ours, and they said, we have tea for you. We hear you love tea, and I did, and it's like, wow, what was going on there?
Yes.
I was not expecting that.
It's definitely a unique experience, yerba mate.
Yes, it is.
I had the variety where they take out the caffeine in it, so it wasn't as, it didn't make me as spacey, but I do know that spacey feeling that you're talking about.
I had an experience with some green tea powder a couple weeks ago, right before some friends came over, and I got a little spacey on it, and they said, oh, green tea will do it to you because, oh, what did they say? It's the caffeine, but, oh, yes, they shade the plant for 2 weeks before they pick it, so the caffeine in the tea is really strong. That's how it was explained to me. I don't know if that's correct, but, yes, I got a little high off of it, and I mean, like, I felt like every chakra that I didn't even know about was wide open and spinning. Okay.
That's lovely.
Yes, yes. I can see music and hear color right now, you know.
Wow.
They say I think somebody said it was a Zen high, is what they call it.
Yeah, that sounds clear too. I've experienced that. Yes. Most definitely.
It was interesting. Well, I think I'm going to drink it a little bit more watered down next time.
Well, there you go. You can always do that, for sure, for sure. Don't brew it as long.
a friend brought over, because we got such a good chuckle out of it, she made some blueberry green tea powdered muffins the next time we get together. Every once in a while, I'll have one or two girlfriends come over, and it's not an official tea house, but we'll decorate a candle or just do something witchy together, you know, with a brunch with quiche or something. But it's not an official tea house thing. It's just when girls get together. But I'm making some lifelong, I can tell, relationships and friendships through the tea house already, online and in person. So it's really come a long way just in a few months.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And, you know,
well,
if I ever get
you.
Down to North Carolina, I am coming to a tea house.
Definitely. Definitely.
Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, I swear.
Well, thank you.
Goodness.
I appreciate that. Yeah, well,
and
see,
so
now,
where in North Carolina are you?
Oh, wow. We are near Winston-Salem.
Oh, okay. I think I kind of know where that is.
Yeah, between Winston-Salem and Mount Airy.
We've
been here for a few years. We bought a big old country worn-down farmhouse, and we're making it our own. And I've always wanted a house that if people did crafts and spilt glitter on the floor, it was no big deal, that people could put their feet up on the furniture and, you know, have tea on a table. And if it gets a little bit of dye from an egg on the table, I'm not going to have a fit. I'm just going to take a little bleach and clean it up. Or if it stains forever, well, it's just a memory. That's the day we dyed eggs.
There you go. And, you know, I would love to have a house like that. That just sounds like a dream come true.
Yes, we were out today working on the garden, working on the herbs.
And how are they coming along?
Their little faces are showing rather nicely right now. We had to cover them up last week. Got a little cold, and a couple of them got a little cold bit, but they're doing okay. And I found my Solomon seal little shoots coming up, and my lemon balm, and my lovage, and my French tarragon, all budding through, and I've got some ladies' mantle coming up, and My favorite one so far, and it looks like a little tiny snapdragon, is called Toad Flax.
Toad Flax?
Toad Flax.
What is that used for?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I can't remember, but it was so cute, and I found it, and the flowers look like little tiny snapdragons.
Wow.
And all my bee balm is coming up all nicely, and I'm going to be planting some broom corn this year, so hopefully I'll be able to have some straw for my own besom next year. So
wow.
Yes.
That is really
We only have an acre, but I like to plant unusual things.
Well, an acre is a lot of space.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you
mm-hmm.
can feed a lot of people with an acre of land.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you have any other crops that you're going to be planting soon?
Tomatoes, lettuce. I've got a nice crop of garlic coming along. And, in the front of the yard, I have a little lavender farm with 12 plants.
Ooh, lavender. Yay, lavender.
Yes.
I love
yes, 24
lavender.
24 plants, rather. Mm-hmm.
I use lavender for everything.
Oh, so
if
do
I.
Have,
if I have a bump or a bruise, I put my lavender oil on it. If I get burned at work, I put lavender oil on it.
Mm-hmm.
If I am needing to go to sleep, I put lavender oil under my nose.
You ever made lavender cookies?
No, I've never made lavender cookies.
Lavender cookies. You make like a shortbread and you put lavender buds in it. Or you can make lavender lemonade. I made a lavender lemon curd a few years ago. And then my favorite thing is lavender pepper, which I cannot eat my weekend eggs without lavender pepper.
Lavender pepper. Explain to me this.
Fennel, lavender buds, three or four, whatever peppers you can find, all the different colors. And what else is in the lavender pepper? I'll have to put some recipes up.
Yes, definitely.
But there's
please
some
do.
Wonderful
they
things.
They sound so tasty.
Yeah, they are. I enjoy it. I'm this lavender crop I'm growing is completely organic, so I have lost a few that I have to replace, but
uh-huh.
I plan to try to sell a little bit in my local farmer's market and just always have lavender available. So this is the year I get to pick it. And I'm really excited
awesome.
To see how it grows. And if it grows well, we'll put in another 24 plants. We did a lot of research on how to really grow lavender, what kind of soil it really needs. Because people will buy a lavender plant and they will stick it in the ground and give it rich, rich, you know, dark dirt. And lavender is from the Mediterranean, so it wants sandy, loose soil. Yeah, a lot of people don't. They try to overnourish it and keep it wet, and it likes to be dry. Its little toes don't like to be wet at all.
Well, there is something I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we used a lot of sand and some pea gravel, and we. Reverend Elizabeth, you're going to laugh at this. We have an Angora rabbit who lives on the back porch.
Ah.
So everybody works here, and we call them bunny berries, and bunny berries and the hay that we use for him make the best compost.
Oh, my.
So we lined the bottom of the lavender trench that we dug before we put the pea gravel in the sand and the topsoil in. We put a nice layer of bunny berries and used hay. Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely.
So Mr. Binky Blue Boy is a valued member of our family.
Well, I can just imagine. Everything has use, I suppose.
Yes, I spin his fur, too. He gets a nice brushing every so often, and I put his fur in my spinning.
Wow, well, that's lovely. That's just lovely. So we are at the halfway mark of our little chit-chat here, and I just wanted to let everybody know that we are with Lisa Vysek today, and we are talking about her shrine, her little shrine that could, Tea House of the Goddess, and we're having a grand old time here on Sacred Divergence Radio, and we're so happy that you all can come and listen. And if you're listening in the archives, that's okay too. You can catch us every Sunday night at 10 Eastern in the U.S. time. And right now we're going to play a song. I'm trying to find a song that's calling to me and nothing is really jumping out. Do you have a favorite pagan artist that you like to listen to?
Oh, there, Dave the Bard, of course.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The
I like
hills are hollow. Anything.
Let me see if I can find that song here. I know we have a bunch of his.
Because it's getting a time of the year where the fairies come back. So
yes. Yes, indeed. And here
it's
we go.
It's time
we have
to adorn all my
hollow.
Fairy doors. I have several fairy doors spread throughout the house, so not every year I decorate them, but when I remember, I'll put little tiny wreaths on them and welcome everybody back.
Well, that's lovely. So let's take a listen to The Hills They Are Hollow by Dave the Bard.
Wonderful.
And we will be back in about 6 minutes, okay?
Awesome.
And the hills, they are hollow.
And that was Darb the Bard with The Hills They Are Hollow. And we are back with Lisa Vysek of Tea House of the Goddess. And I wish I had a cup of tea right now. That sounds really nice.
Oh, that song just sends me over the moon.
Doesn't it, though? It's such a nice song.
That hits me in a way that, you know, like a Christian song would hit you, you know, or a very spiritual held belief song, which, I mean, it just really hits you.
It totally does. It hits me like the hymns Herne hits me from S.J. Tucker. That's one of my favorite songs on this earth.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard it before, I'm going to play it later on in the hour.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
I hope to see him in concert live someday.
Oh, that would be lovely, yeah.
Wouldn't that be? Oh, man, yes.
I hope we can get him to one of our groups sometime, to like a temple or something for a ritual or illustration, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also one of my goals, is to get SJ out to one of our events, too. But,
oh,
my goodness.
My word,
I
yes.
I just love
that would be
SJ
nice.
Tucker.
Uh-huh.
She's amazing.
Yes.
So what else would we like to talk about, my dear?
Well, I do a few other things besides the tea house that kind of coalesce with my whole life. And as you know, I'm a weaver and spinner now, and I have been asked to do my first fairy festival in North Carolina next month. And it all came about because of Reverend Onyx.
Awesome. Tell us all about it. Come on.
Evidently, this festival had put out a call for volunteers, and he had sent out all around the message boards if we'd like to volunteer. And I'm like, I should be weaving and spinning there. So I got in touch with the gentleman that's producing it, and I will be a storyteller / demonstrator there for 2 days.
Wow, that sounds like so much fun.
And there's all kinds of wonderful performers going to be there, all kinds of fairy things, and I'm looking forward to that.
Wow, that
I've always wanted to do like a fairy festival or a Renaissance festival with my weaving and my spinning, because I do a lot of demonstrations, and I'm always Mama Gnome. I'm always dressed up in my character. Well, she is me, and I am her.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be out in the community, and people will hear me talking, and they go, I know you from somewhere, but I don't know where. And I look at them over the edge of my glasses, and I sit to picture me with a tall red hat. And they will go, oh, you're Mama Gnome. and they
so
say it
funny.
Like, you know, they don't want to actually say such a you know, a crazy name, you know, because it'll be like in a formal situation.
Uh-huh.
And they have to say the words, oh, you're Mama Gnome.
That's funny.
Would you like to know
That's
how I got the name?
Funny. Yes, please tell us. How did you get the
okay.
name Mama Gnome?
Okay. Well, I have a special needs daughter, and I've always looked at her as kind of, she's a gift from spirit. She's from another plateau. She's from another plane. And she's my fairy, and she loves fairies. And one day I was talking to her, and I said, you just remind me of a fairy, honey. And she goes, well, I am a fairy, Mom. And we were just joking around, and I said, so what is Daddy? And she looked him up and down and says, he's an elf. And I'm like, okay, you know, the movies, he's tall, you know, long hair. I can get the elf. So I looked at her very smugly and said, hey, so what is Mom? And she looked me up and down and around about, and she goes, oh, Mom, you're a gnome.
Aww.
I was hoping for something a little bit taller and more graceful. But Nome it was, and let me tell you, Reverend Liz, I mean, just in the following months, when I would continue to tell this little story, all the people that I was friends with and the young people I'm friends with started to call me Mama Nome. And it just kind of rolled on pleasantly. You know, I didn't ask anybody to call me that. It just kind of became my name in the magical community. And as I started doing more and more weaving and spinning demonstrations in the community, I was like, well, why not? And I made myself a red hat, and I have a little outfit that looks like a Renaissance festival kind of thing, and went with the red hat and did some accessories, found some mushroom-shaped earrings and started wearing them when I did a demonstration, and it all kind of ended up here.
That is so fantastic. You are just a remarkable little lady, let me tell you.
Oh, gosh. No, I'm I'm just doing what I feel is right, trying to follow spirit.
And
spirit,
you know,
does have a sense of humor.
Oh, my goodness. Does spirit ever have a sense of humor? You know, this reminds me of a story that Lord Don told the other night on Blog Talk Radio. And it goes like this. So in our tradition, in the Karelian tradition, the ancestors are very much venerated, very respected individuals. And
yeah.
Before it went public, it was all very interwoven into the family. And it was not a separate thing. Religion and family were one and the same, basically. So when somebody passed on, they were given kind of like a high seat, you know, like they were looked up to kind of thing.
Okay.
And the messages that they have been receiving, Lord Don and Lady Crystal and all the rest had been receiving, were very formal and very, you know, high church kind of stuff.
Yes.
So one day, a lady named Lady Virginia Bitterwind Smith, who was then the first elder of the tradition, now she's retired, said, you know, I think we're censoring them. Why would our people suddenly have this high churchy attitude in spirit if they were not so high churchy in life? And so Lord Don and Lady Crystal consulted the ancestors, and they asked them, ancestors, are we censoring you? And the reply was, duh.
Really?
Yes, really. They had been censoring the ancestors. And this fits so neatly into our discussion of oracle work, because one of the key things to remember with oracle work is to not expect anything. To just let the message come. And they
mm-hmm.
had been censoring the ancestors. And ever since then, the messages have been much more wild and widely variated in their style and scope. So that reminded me of that.
Interesting. Well, there's always been that concept of sacred clown. And
there you go. Yeah.
I grew up very and very conservative, and it wasn't a laughing matter, and you took your religion very, very seriously. And since I became a pagan, I'm still very, I don't want to say the word religious, I wish there was a better word, that I have
spiritual.
To be in community. I have to have ritual in my life. Not like church, but every once in a while, I have to have ritual. I have to have study. I have to have teaching. I love a good podcast. I adore a great podcast. And that's why I love Lord Don's vlogs so much, because you can spend 20 minutes if that's all you have during the day and watch, what, four or five vlogs on four or five
yep.
different things. And some of them might be funny. Some of them might be totally serious. But you get that little few moment teaching that I just have to have in my life.
I hear you. Wow.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm enjoying learning about their tradition so much, because there's so much fun and joy and lots of love and concern for each individuals, and the classes are solid and seem very well thought out. And like Reverend Onyx was telling me, they build on top of each other, that it's just a natural progression of knowledge. And it's just, I'm really happy with the education I'm getting and the
well,
humor.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that. I'm so happy to hear that. I know that, well, I've been Corellian for 10 years.
Yeah.
And there has not been a day that has gone by that I have not learned something new from
mm-hmm.
Lord Don, Lady Crystal, or all the rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's something like really small and insignificant, or one might think it was insignificant, it
mm-hmm.
really can change your life.
Yes.
And
yes. It stands in the back of your mind until you're ready for it.
It does. It totally does.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that is the kind of thing that I have been looking for my entire life. And there's no place else that I would rather be. No place in the world.
That is such a nice confirmation.
It is. And, you know,
I really appreciate that because it helps me know that I made a good choice for myself and my family.
Definitely.
And you know, my friends, and I don't really want to be a leader, but at least I want to be a good example. Or a horrible warning, is that what they say?
Yeah, I got news for you, honey. You are an up-and-coming leader, okay? You can't help yourself.
My ears are red right now, and I'm blushing.
You can't help yourself.
The titles kind of are scary for me. Because
okay,
I want
so
everybody
don't use
to be,
them. So
you know.
So just be yourself. Be Mama
yeah.
Gnome.
Thank you.
Can be a leader.
I'm really happy
there
being
is,
Mama Gnome.
There is no reason why Mama Gnome cannot be a great leader in our society, okay?
Well, thank
if we
you.
Have
thank
people,
you.
If we have people named Morning Glory, Zell Ravenheart, and Oberon Zell Ravenheart, then why can't
aww.
We have people?
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. Stop. Well, I really am happy, you know, that I have found this tradition. And a dear friend had tried to tell me about it years ago, and I wasn't ready to hear about it. And I, you know, wanted to take another road. And when I finally told my dear friend that I'm going to take that road, she's like, She's one of my dearest friends in the world. She's the one that can stick her finger in my face and say, I told you so, honey. Why didn't you listen to me?
Well, you know, the thing about this tradition is you will come home when you are ready for it.
Yes.
And
yes. Yes. Ooh, you just gave me goosebumps.
Yes.
But I did the little course on the five mystic secrets. Reverend Elizabeth, that was the most eye-opening
yes.
piece of literature I think I've ever read. And
yes.
I've read a lot. I mean, I haven't been to college, but I've still read a lot. And how simply put, how gentle, how loving. You know, why can't more literature that is religious or spiritual be as kind and as affirming as the Five Mystic Secrets?
You know, that's a question I've often asked myself, and I have not come up with an answer yet. If you come up with an answer, tell me.
I will. Because
let me know.
It is so affirming. And
so,
it's lovely.
In the chat
room. It's absolutely lovely.
In the chat room, we have David, my good friend from Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, outside of Jerusalem. And he says that, you know, you shouldn't worry because Frank Zappa's daughter is named Moon Unit.
There you go.
And her brother is named Dweezil.
Oh, yes.
So Frank Zappa has some creative license there in naming his kids. So you should not worry about being Mama Gnome.
It's a name that I never want to disappoint in.
Well, there you go.
And as Reverend Onyx, when I first started talking with him, said something so so astonishing to me that it stuck with me. And I've heard different versions of it, but remember, you might be the only face of paganism that anybody ever sees. So make it a good one. Something to that extent. And wow. And I remember growing up as a Christian, you know, hearing that same kind of thing. And I always, it was always like something I had to drag around. Like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to report my behavior. And now that I'm pagan and I can look at it, it's a little bit more of a joyful burden to bring around and to remind myself to be joyful and to be, to have that code of honor that I have for myself that people see. But it's not like a burden that somebody's going to tell on me. It's going to be, wow, and she's a pagan? I actually was something else. You know, that kind of outcome is what I'd like.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of what I strive for, too, in my practice. And I think that I've had kind of good success with that. A lot of people come to me, you know, and they go, oh, you're pagan, what's that mean? And then I explain it to them, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of get that. Or, you know, oh, okay, well, that's not my cup of tea, but I respect your beliefs and blah, blah.
Yes.
And, you
know, coming from a Christian background like I have Christian family and Christian friends that they worry about me. But they read my posts, they see my life. And they see my daughter's life, and they're like, there's something to what you're doing. We're not too sure what it is because we don't understand that, but how could you be such, you know, a devoted Christian and all of a sudden you're pagan? It really wasn't all of a sudden, but, but you know, I really try to live up to my own personal standards, and I fail daily, but... Tomorrow is always another day. You get up and you try again.
This is very true. This is very, very true. And my goodness. So we are coming to the top of our hour here. We started a little late, so we're just going to wrap it up shortly here.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you want listeners to know about you and your venture?
Well, If the spirit is telling you to do something, step out in faith, as they say, and do it, because spirit and friends will be there to help you. I've had some lovely friends help me along the way with encouragement and ideas. And I have a Christian friend, Reverend Elizabeth, who called me and said, I have some china that was my grandmother's, and I'm going to bring it all the way up to Mama Gnome's nest for you to have at your next tea house of the goddess party. She gave me several pieces of her grandmother's china. A couple of platters, a couple of teapots, some beautiful teacups. And she said, I know that you will use them appropriately and that you will love them and that you will nourish and cherish your friends with these dishes. So I want you to have them. And I was just blown away.
That would have blown me away too. My goodness. My goodness. So I suppose that is the message of the hour, is to go out and be the best person that you can be and strive toward your highest ideals and just be awesome in being yourself.
What's that saying? Do what you can with what you have where you are.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a catchphrase for me. It's hard for me to get out and do a lot of things because of my situation with my daughter. But while I'm here with what I have, I can hopefully serve up a lot of blessing.
And After Fove wants me to ask you a question.
Sure.
And the question is, what Hogwarts house would Jesus belong to?
Oh, I have no mind for that. I love the movies, but my brain is so full of other things that I've never understood the sorting hat thing. I just enjoy the movie and let it wash over me. Now, if he has a weaving or spinning question or how to make the perfect scone, I can do that.
Well, so now, I want your recipe on perfect scones. If you can make perfect scones that melt in your mouth and not in your
hand.
Oh,
I know the secret ingredient. Yes. So where would he put Jesus?
I don't know. He hasn't told us. After Fove, now you have to tell us where you would put Jesus. Come on. Spit it out. He's typing.
Okay.
This is our typing face. There's a little bit of a delay in the broadcast.
Yeah, the chat room didn't come up for me tonight on my end.
Oh, that's awful. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. Just try refreshing. Okay, so his point was that there is no difference between the teachings of Jesus and being a witch.
Okay.
And I don't know where he gets that from. I think that there's a lot different between the teachings of Jesus and being a witch, but that's my own personal opinion, I suppose.
Okay.
He would put Jesus in Ravenclaw.
So from what I know about that, there's one that's more thinking and more,
yes.
And then one more emotionally motivated, and I can't remember what the other ones are. I may be very wrong.
That the Ravenclaw is the thinking minds, basically. And then you have Gryffindor, which is, like, the emotional people. And then you have Slytherins, which are the bad guys. And I never really understood Hufflepuffs, where they
kind of
they're
supposed to be the fluffy bunnies, perhaps? I'm not too sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I love the movies, but I don't. The getting into the philosophy, I've been doing other things, unfortunately.
Well, it's not unfortunate. You do what you need to do, and that's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah, if he wants to learn how to spin or weave, I'm your girl.
Yeah. Well, Mama knows.
If he wants to process sheep fleece, I'm good at that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, this has been such a fantastic hour. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to have to touch back sometime.
Oh, I'd love to. Maybe after I do another tea house, and I can give a nice little report on that and all the fun things that we did. Yes,
awesome.
But I'll get some recipes to you.
Yeah, you'll have to get me those recipes, and they will be up at Sacred Divergence Radio on Facebook. And you can always find out more by visiting Tea House of the Goddess on Facebook. That is Tea House, two words, Tea House of the Goddess. And thank you so much, Lisa. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best in your ventures, and I can't wait to hear what you do for Beltane.
Well, we'll talk to you soon then. Thank
you,
Reverend Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure too, dear. You have a great night now.
Thank you.
And to all of our listeners, we're gonna duck out of town here with Hymn to Herne by the lovely and talented S.J. Tucker. Here we go, and have a great night. Blessed be.
You can say your prayers, work your rites, burn your little candle day and night. You can shimmy till dawn to the pounding drums, but you best be ready when the horn one comes, yeah. Sound of a hunting horn, you dance a ring in the gathering storm. If the solstice time, get your panties in a wad. Just the coming of the horn god, he will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Hey, hunter who tracks outside of time, guardian lord of ancient rhyme, brother stag in the musky glen, consort of the goddess in the woodland den. We call you forth as we make our way, walking in your power every day. Guide us true in our hunt this night, and maybe even later in the great right, he will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Children of the horned one.